Already on the phone right now is author Susan Messner. Her new book, The Nature of Fragile Things, comes out on February 2nd from the fine folks at Berkeley. Susan, we talked to you last year, 2 years ago for the last year of the war. Talked to you for As Bright as Heaven. I also loved A Bridge Across the Ocean. And my first book of yours was Secrets of a Charmed Life. So you're 5 for 5 with me so far because I love this new book.
Thank you so much. That's always great news to hear. Thank you.
Obviously, if I didn't like you and I didn't like the book, I wouldn't be having you on. So, but you keep churning them out. Now, this one was a couple of years from the last one. Did you just have a little time off? Was COVID? Did you just take a little longer to write this one?
Well, you know, I gave myself more margin in between books, partly because when the paperback came out for the last year of the war, I wanted it to have some time of its own to shine in the sun, so to speak, without another title. And so that meant another year, you know, to give it a full year, which means 2 years in between hardback releases. So that's why there's a 2-year gap between the two hardcovers, is there was a paperback release in the middle there.
And you're in California, so I have to ask, you and your family, you doing okay? Because California obviously is one of the epicenters right now of what's going on in this world.
Yeah, thanks for asking. We are fine. My immediate family is fine. We are under some pretty stringent lockdown conditions here, which I guess has kept my family safe, even though for some it has, you know, California is having high incidences of COVID cases. We are doing okay. You can't go to a restaurant right now. We haven't been able to since before Christmas. You can order takeout, which we do from time to time, but for the most part, it's just essential services that you can go into, you know, grocery stores and gas stations and the like. But, you know, they're asking people to kind of minimize your time out and about. And so we're trying to do our best to just, you know, to do that for the rest of our local community.
Yeah, I've been following your governor, Gavin Newsom, and he seems pretty cool to me, although I've been reading stuff about people aren't happy with him and they want to recall him.
Well, it's such a difficult place to be in because, you know, you want to be safe, you want to be smart, you don't want to be fearful, but you want to be careful. And somewhere in the middle of all that is the right way to be, you know, the best place to operate out of. And so I think in between careful and fearful is where we need to be. And I think maybe sometimes he's what some people would call overly cautious, but, you know, swinging the pendulum that the other direction would be overly fearful or reckless. We don't want that either.
Yeah, like the governor of Florida and the governor of Texas, where I live. So, yeah, I'd rather be safer than sorry. And luckily with Joe Biden now in the White House, knock on wood, things will start getting a lot better.
Right.
Well, let's get off of politics because that's not what I'm calling you for. The Nature of Fragile Things takes place in San Francisco right before the big earthquake in 1906. Mm-hmm. What was your research like for that?
Well, I've always been interested in that particular event because I'm from California. Yeah. California is my home, and I live on an earthquake fault. You know, San Diego's on a fault zone too, so we've always had earthquakes here. And I know that one is of particular importance because it was so, and the magnitude was just so great, and there was so much damage. So researching it, you know, took me back up to San Francisco for a research trip. And there's lots of really good nonfiction books that have been written about it. So I felt like even though it happened, you know, quite a while ago, and there's no living survivors now, the amount of literary remains that we have is wonderful. And the San Francisco Public Library is terrific. And they've got this historical research center on the second floor that you can go in and, you know, borrow things. They're research items. You can't take them out, but they've been well preserved. So I feel like I had a lot at my disposal to be able to craft a book that seems like I was there on the ground when it happened, when of course I was not.
Yeah, and the earthquake is part of the story, but it's not the main focus of the story. The main focus of the story is this woman named Sophia Whalen. She's a young Irish immigrant who's living in New York in a tenement right now. She came over from Ireland to escape what was going on over there. And what, 1905, 1906 is when she came over. And she sees an ad for a mail order bride and agrees to marry a man she doesn't know anything about that lives in San Francisco. The only thing she does know is that he has a daughter, and it seems like he might have some money, so she'll be taken care of. And he sends a picture, and I guess he's handsome, but this is 1906, so It's not social media. It's not, you know, hey, I can go to, you know, Photoshop and make a fake picture of myself and say it's me. So she ends up getting out there. She they get married. She becomes like a mother to Kat, his 5-year-old daughter, who doesn't really talk because she really hasn't gotten over her mother's death. But Martin is weird. He's gone a lot. He says it's for his job. And it's basically just Kat and Kat and Sophie. And then one day, a strange woman shows up at her house, and it sets up a chain of events. We're not going to say what they are because those would be spoilers. But let's just say not everything or everybody is what they seem.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think that's why the backdrop of the earthquake fit well for me metaphorically, because it, you know, the earthquake shook the very ground beneath everybody's feet in San Francisco, you know, literally, of course, but also figuratively for my character, because a lot of things get shattered at the same time as a real earthquake for her. And so it's not just the fact that the literal ground is moving, but her world is like collapsing around her. She's been able to like fashion some happiness for herself by marrying this man. And even though he's not quite right, she knows there's something up with him. He's aloof. He's mysterious. He travels for his job. He's just, there's something up with him. She can't quite figure it out, but she dismisses it because she has everything else that she has wanted for a long time, including a daughter to love, because she knows that she can't have children. So, you know, she's got this nice house to live in. She's got good clothes, good food to eat. She hasn't had that in a long time. He's not mean. He's not abusive. He's a very good provider. He's not rich, but he's a good provider. And of course, she's got this little girl, and she's far away from her troubles. So she dismisses the fact that she can't quite figure him out. But then, of course, the earthquake happens, and she can no longer dismiss it. Everything starts to crumble.
Kristen Harmo, who I really liked, author of The Book of Lost Names, says a mysterious web of lies, love, and loss accelerates towards the inevitable, the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906. Lauren Willick. I really like her, too. In the ashes of San Francisco's greatest tragedy, one remarkable woman finds love, friendship, and the means to rebuild. Historical fiction that reads with the urgency and suspense of a thriller. And Hazel Gaynor, another one that I like. Driven by the unstoppable force of the three intriguing women at its heart, this is a novel to savor and one to share with all the women in your life who you admire. And guys can read it, too.
Sure they can. Yeah, no, those are wonderful, wonderful quotes from really great writers and good friends. And I'm glad that I was able to weave in a bit of suspense with this one, because there is kind of a mystery at the heart of it. And I haven't been able to like come up with a mystery thread like this in quite some time. I just haven't had that kind of idea come to me, but I did with this one, and it was fun to kind of play the mystery writer. So that I could take the reader on a ride where they really don't know where I'm going. And the narrator, of course, is telling you the story. It's Sophie telling you the story. So how much of what she's telling you is the truth? That's always a fun part of writing a mystery, where you've got like a, what we might call the narrator who's not quite reliable, not quite.
Yeah.
You want to believe everything she's saying, but is she holding back from the reader? She even mentions it when she's telling the story, that there are parts of her life that she's just not going to talk about. She's just not going to. She's closed the door on those aspects of her life, and yet the reader knows. But it matters somehow to what's happening right now, and you're wondering, is she ever going to tell us the truth? And that part was fun to write.
Yeah, the twists and the turns. I didn't see that one coming, certain something when something got said.
That nicely put.
Well, trying not to do spoilers.
I appreciate that.
People can follow you online at Twitter at Susan Messner, MeisSnER, at Facebook, Susan.Messner, SusanMessner.com. Obviously, in COVID, you can't go out and book tour, but will you be doing book clubs? You'll be doing virtual stuff?
Yeah, there's a big slate, actually, of virtual events coming up, and they can find all of those on my website. Most of them are free to attend. Some of them are being hosted by bookstores, and so it's always nice to support that local independent bookstore that's holding the event. But you don't have to buy the book at most of these events to be able to attend the Zoom event. But it's always great to patronize that bookstore that's hosting.
You've read a lot of historical novels over the years. It says probably more than 500,000 books in print in 15 languages. Do you have copies of every book in every language?
I do keep one of each. Like, I'm often sent like 5 copies of the foreign translations, and 4 of them I give away. And I usually just keep one just for posterity, because it's kind of fun, you know, to have have a shelf on my office of these foreign translations.
It must be fun, too, because different countries have different standards. So the book covers are going to be different, and the story might be edited a little bit here or there to conform to the country.
Yeah, sometimes they will change the title. Like, if the title doesn't translate well into the language of the people that are going to be reading it, they'll work with the story to craft a title that works for the reading public that's going to be reading it. And it's always fun to go into Google Translate and drop in the new title and see what they came up with.
You've had all these historical novels over the years. Have any of them ever been optioned for any movies or TV shows?
There hasn't been any options. There have been interests. So there's been a couple of times where there's been an interest from a production company or a studio, but it's never gone past just the interest stage. So my fingers are crossed that someday that might happen.
Yeah, you never know. And even if it does get optioned, it may never get made. It might just sit in purgatory hell.
Right. yeah. That, for me, that's like, it's not so much a goal because I'm not in control of that, but it is like a dream. Like, maybe someday that could happen, and I think that would be great.
Is there one particular book of yours, and I'm putting you on the spot here, that you've written that you would be like, oh my god, this one I want to see. I mean I'm sure you want to see all of them, but is there one book you can think of that over the others that what you'd like to see on a screen somewhere?
Well, you're right, I would love to see all of them make it to the screen, but there's one in particular that I think would be easier to make than the others, because crafting a historical look back is always expensive, because, you know, the movie company has to reproduce the past. But for the A Bridge Across the Ocean, which takes place a lot of it on the Queen Mary, which is moored right here in California as a floating hotel, she's still here. And so they would be able to have all of those scenes that took place on this ship are on the ship because she's right here. And so many of these other places, like to go back to San Francisco and film this particular book, which it could happen. It's a little more difficult because, you know, that part of San Francisco was destroyed. We'd have to recreate it using other locales, perhaps. But the Queen Mary is just sitting right there in Long Beach Harbor, just waiting to be used.
Well, The Nature of Fragile Things comes out on Tuesday, February 2nd. Before I let you go, I have to ask, have you started working on your next book yet?
I have. I'm hard at work on it. It doesn't really have a title yet, and the topic is, I'm not sure I'm ready to share exactly what it's about.
Fine.
I haven't been able to frame it in my mind, but it does take place in California, and it is about 3 different generations of women who are impacted by the eugenics movement, which, if you know anything about it, it was a quite popular movement in the first part of the 20th century about crafting a better human race. And it's chillingly mindful of what happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s. But it actually began here in the United States with an idea that we could make better people. It's kind of scary, but it really happened.
Will that be next year or a little bit more time again between books?
Yeah, there'll be a 2-year break because, again, with The Nature of Fragile Things, it's going to come out in paperback a year from now, and we'll want to give that some time to shine. And so this next book will come out 2 years from now, yeah.
Cool. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So I guess in about 2 more years, we'll connect again.
Yes, let's do that. And, you know, time goes by so fast. Like, before you know it, we'll be there. And hopefully in a better post-COVID world. That will be wonderful.
And instead of this time next year, it'll be this time every 2 years.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Susan, stay safe and good luck with everything. And I guess 2 more years.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.